Springtime is a great time for hiking in our region. There's so much to see right now, although getting the weather to let up long enough for a hike has been a bit tricky. Regardless of the weather, new places to hike are taking shape this spring. The long-awaited Applegate Ridge Trail is now under construction. It is envisioned as part of a larger network of trails that will, it is hoped, eventually allow people to walk from Ashland to Grants Pass, or in the other direction, with very few encounters with pavement. Trail building began recently, and here for an update is Luke Riediger from the Applegate Trails Association. Luke, good to see you back in the studio.
Thanks for having me, Jeffrey. Happy to be here.
So work began when exactly on this particular portion of trail?
Well, we're working right now on what we call the East Applegate Ridge Trail, which extends from Sterling Creek Road down to Highway 238, directly adjacent to Rouche near Forest Creek Road, if people know where that is. And we started building trail about a month ago.
And how many years in the making has this been?
It's been a lot of work. Thousands of volunteer hours, tens of thousands of dollars, and about 5 years of hard work getting to the point to where we're at, where we can actually break ground and start building trail.
So all that time and money spent even before you had a chance to break ground?
Yes. Applegate Trails Association's been working to just build support for the concept. And then once we got it to the point to where we had a trail designed and everything, we went to the BLM and had to go through that approval process. And the Applegate Trails Association is paying to fund that approval process and the survey work that's associated.
So most of the trail then is on BLM land?
Yes. The Applegate Ridge Trail is going to be entirely on BLM land, except for possibly, depending on how we route the trail, we might need an easement through a piece of private land or two on the way to Grants Pass.
So how tricky is that process? I mean, do you have to go through the full National Environmental Policy Act process with environmental assessments and that sort of thing?
Yes, we did. We went through the full NEPA process, the National Environmental Policy Act, and went through the approval process. We had a finding of no significant impact, and therefore we were able to move forward with the project. And we were breaking ground on trail within a couple of days of getting official approval. So we were excited and we're pretty ready to go.
So nobody stood around and said, well, why don't we wait for this date? You just went out there and charged with the tools?
As soon as we had approval, we were ready to go. We had a crew ready to go and people, funding from the Schwimm Family Foundation and from REI and from a RAP grant, which is a federal grant. And so we were able to basically take that money and immediately start on trail building.
And what does that money go to then?
Like I said, we had to pay for the environmental assessment work, but the funds that we're working off of right now are specifically earmarked for trail building. So we have a crew of local people that are out there doing the trail work paid, and then we also have volunteer days. We had one a couple weeks ago and another one coming up on the 30th where we're going to have volunteers come out and actually be able to get their hands dirty and do a little work and help us build the trail.
So what's involved with building a trail? I've often wondered about this part of it. Is it like building a road just without the pavement?
It's a lot of handwork. Some people have been asking me, so what kind of equipment are you using out there? It basically consists of hose and shovels and a lot of hard work. So we're pretty much just etching the trail into the hillside by hand. We have a crew that fluctuates maybe between 6 and 8 people. And, just a lot of hard work.
It's not mechanized then? You don't have any particular gasoline-powered things or anything out there helping you do it?
No, it's all human-powered. There is no mechanization. So it's like I said, just people out there swinging hose and building the trail by hand manually.
Is that a choice? Do you have things that you could use?
We were required by our environmental assessment work to through the BLM to do the trail by hand. We also kind of... We like to do it that way because in general there's less environmental impact, and even with those trail machines you're going to have to follow behind and do a lot of touch-up work to make the trail really meet the trail specs that we're required to meet. So it's a little extra work and probably a little extra money, but we're happy to do it by hand, and we're happy to provide the employment to some local people for it's temporary jobs, but everybody that's on the crew is extremely happy to be out enjoying the views and working hard in the woods. So,
and how big a crew did you say?
It's right now we have about 6 to 8 people, depending on the day. Mm-hmm. It fluctuates a little.
So. Luke Riediger, a guest on the Jefferson Exchange, one of the members of the Applegate Trails Association. We're talking about the work commencing on the Applegate Ridge Trail. In this case, this is the East Applegate Ridge Trail, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct. We're going to be planning the project in stages because it's such a big project. So we're working on the East Applegate Ridge Trail now, building it, constructing it, and we're hoping that as soon as we're done, with the trail construction, we can roll right into the approval process for what we call the center art, which goes into the area between Highway 238 and Humbug Creek through an area called the Wellington Butte Roadless Area. So it's kind of the one of the highlights of the trail is this center art region that we're working on designing and hopefully can push right into the approval process when we're done with the trail construction on the East Applegate Ridge Trail. In the end, it's all going to be one trail, but as I said, for reasons of approval, the approval process and the environmental assessment work and just the feasibility of chewing on smaller chunks rather than 50 miles at once.
Okay, so at some point this all becomes the Applegate Ridge Trail, but for purposes of getting it identified for administrative reasons and for approvals, you go with little chunks along the way.
Exactly, yeah.
Ah, I get it. Okay, so it's sort of like buying a car, a tire at a time or something.
Yeah, we're hoping that it'll be three phases for the Applegate Ridge Trail, so the East Art, the Center Art, and what we're calling the West Art, or Applegate Ridge Trail is what ART means, it's an acronym. But we're going to be – so we'll be working from – the center art, as I said, is Highway 238 to Humbug Creek. And then that west art section is the biggest section, and it's from Humbug Creek all the way into Grants Pass.
So you mentioned a roadless area in the center art, art for Applegate Ridge Trail, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what kinds of strictures there are. And granted, this is not true wilderness. It is just roadless area. But are some of the environmental things that you have to follow, they're essentially the same as if you were doing a road building or a timber sale or something, aren't
it's
they?
It's the same process, mm-hmm. You know, that we have to go through, that, say, a timber sale would have to go through, or a road building project, or any other project that has the potential to have significant environmental impacts or social impacts on federal land. And we went through that assessment work, and it was determined that there was not significant impact, and so we were able to move forward.
With a 6 or 8 person crew, how far can the trail extend in a day?
That all depends on how much rock we hit. I worked Tuesday on the trail with the crew, and we covered about 900 feet. And we've been working for about a month, and we're about roughly 3.5 miles in on the trail. And total, the trail is going to be about 5.6 miles long. So we're making our way through and making steady progress.
I was going to ask you about obstacles like rocks, and just give us a sense of what you encounter in a given day, things that are going to make you go, oh, okay, well, let's do this instead of that.
Well, if you're hitting a lot of deep soil, then it's fairly straightforward. You're just digging tread and making your way across the landscape. It goes pretty quickly. But when you hit rock, you're kind of chinking through it with your tools. Some of it, we're literally just breaking the rock up with a sledgehammer so that we can get our trail width and our tread to meet the standards that we're required to meet under our environmental assessment work, and just to make the trail safe for equestrians and mountain bikers and hikers and everyone that wants to use that trail.
All right, that was the next question. Was who gets to use the trail? How big is the trail, first of all? How wide?
Well, we're shooting for about 2 foot tread, so 24 inches in tread, and that the difficulty in building that tread really depends on how steep the slope is. If we're cutting across a really steep slope, then you kind of have to make a deeper cut into that hillside so that you can get your level trail tread.
To have a benched out area.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. When you're up on the ridge or something, it's a lot easier and you can cover a lot more ground. So it's really variable in terms of how much ground you cover. And in terms of what kind of ground you're hitting, it's really variable in terms of how sore you are when you go home at the end of the day. If it's a lot of rock, then it's a lot of work, and there's some wear and tear. Tuesday, as I said, we were in nice deep soil, and everybody was happy and went home pretty energized.
Luke Riediker is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange with the Applegate Trails Association. We're talking about the construction of the East Applegate Ridge Trail, which is going to be part of this larger trail that eventually will carry people all the way from the Applegate Valley to Grants Pass. Envisioned as part of a larger network. We'll get into that in a moment, but you can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. We have an email from Randy and Roosh, who says, the weekend before last, we decided to hike to the top of the ridge behind our property and found the new trail. A big thanks to the folks doing the hard work of creating this great trail. Thanks to all involved, from Randy and Roosh. This has really been a community pulling together, I gather, from all that we've talked about before about these trails.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of people in the Applegate and the Rogue Valley that are really excited about the trail. And so we have seen this outpouring of support. I'd say that, by and large, the response has been nothing but positive. And, you know, we're working on our section of the trail right now, the Applegate Ridge Trail, and then the Siskiyou Upland Trail Association is also working on what they call the Jack Ash Trail, which is the Jacksonville to Ashland Trail. And the two trails will tie together to create that one long-distance trail from Jacksonville to Ashland. And both groups are just seeing a lot of support and a lot of excitement, and people are just excited to get out on the trail and really experience the beauty of the foothills of the Applegate Valley that maybe is somewhat obscure at this point. And, you know, a lot of the places that we're building trail are somewhat unknown even by the locals that might live there because there historically hasn't been good access. So, I think there's just a lot of excitement about the trail itself and about the concept of the trail, the larger trail extending between communities.
And that's all the way from actually Grants Pass to Ashland?
Yeah, we're going to start – basically the trail starts for all practical purposes in Lithia Park, and then you tie into the trail systems in the Applegate or the Ashland watershed, and it extends all the way to the Cathedral Hills trail system in Grants Pass.
I have a friend who used to work here but hasn't lived in the Rogue Valley in something like 30 years, and she still talks about the beauty of the Applegate Valley, even though she's lived in places like Hawaii and Central Oregon and lots of interesting parts of the world, but still talks about the Applegate Valley as a beautiful place, and this is part of the attraction, I would think, for trail building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I live in the Applegate Valley, so I may be somewhat biased, but I think it's one of the most beautiful parts of our region. And there is a lot of still relatively wild, intact landscapes out there. A lot of the trail goes through some of the oak woodlands and a lot of south-facing, kind of grassy, oaky slopes with big views. And right now, truthfully, is the time to be in the Applegate foothills. The grass is green and the flowers are blooming. There's still snow out in the mountains, you know, in the distance. And I think this trail is probably going to be one of the most beautiful in the region and provide access to just a wide variety of different ecosystems and places for people to enjoy.
How what's the degree of difficulty on the trail, on the section you're building now? Is it a moderate trail? Is it pretty easy?
Well, the section we're building, I mean, to do the whole thing is a task. But the section we're building right now is fairly easy. We've laid it out. We're required to lay out the trail at an average of 8% grade or less. Mm-hmm. The first few miles of the East Applegate Ridge Trail are at 3% grade, so it's a really easy hike. You kind of start out on the ridge, you get into views really quickly, and then you remain up high and really on pretty easy trail for the first couple miles, and then there's the drop down into Highway 238. But the trail has been designed to be relatively gentle, and it will be a relatively easy hike. We think that, you know, a lot of people can get out there and enjoy it with kids and families and everything else.
Given the recent weather conditions, have you been able to work as much in a day as you would like? And if so, in the process of constructing the trail, have you noticed issues that may crop up with weather in the wet seasons in future years?
In some levels, have been fairly blessed with all the rain because it's kept the soil soft and easy to work with. We have been dealing with rain, a little bit of snow. Pretty much we've been working every day that we have an opportunity. And so, by and large, weather hasn't been a problem for us on the Applegate Ridge Trail, but I know that the Siskiyou Upland Trail Association has been running into trouble with snow and things like that because they're a little higher elevation up towards Anderson Butte. So, thus far, it hasn't been a problem for us.
A couple of email questions. Boyd in Wolf Creek wants to know why a public access trail on public land is being planned with private money.
Well, basically, BLM budgets are pretty thin, and this kind of recreational development is something that we as an organization proposed. And so the BLM essentially just, without the funds to do the project themselves, we've stepped in with the funds, grant money, and donations that we've generated through fundraisers and things in the community. And so we're taking that on, and the Siskiyou Upland Trail Association is doing the same on their trail.
Which leads us into the question from Bruce in Ashland. How will it be maintained, and how will mountain bikes be regulated to not damage the area?
Well, we're going to be taking on the maintenance as well. So we have our work cut out for us long term as the trail grows. Mountain bikes right now, because the trail is at a relatively gentle grade, we're expecting that things should run pretty smoothly with the mountain bikes. There is some concerns about downhill mountain bike riding and equestrians. And so we're trying to design the trail so that we can minimize those kind of conflicts and impacts between different user groups. And that's kind of the concept.
In terms of designing the trail, how much wiggle room do you have? I mean, literally on the map. I mean, does BLM say, you know, right here on these lines right there, or can you move like, you know, 6 to 12 feet in either direction?
Well, we've actually had what we refer to as our super volunteer, Dwayne Malums, who has been designing the trail for us. And he's done a great job. We've been mostly in control of designing how the trail goes. We obviously have to avoid any sensitive environmental sites, whether that be rare plant sites or spotted owl cores or nesting cores or things like that. And so we're working our way across the landscape, but mainly we're trying to design the trail so that A, it meets all our trail standards for grade and everything, and B, it's the most enjoyable, beautiful route to walk. And so that's been mostly up to us to design the trail and lay it out, flag it out, and get it all prepared before the environmental assessment work.
How soon before people can actually use it?
We're hoping to be done with the construction by mid-May. Actually, today we have a contractor up working on the upper trailhead, and so it's kind of unknown at this time, but hopefully by late May or early June, we'll have the trail open to the public. So that's the goal.
Okay, and we'll keep an eye on things out there with the Applegate Ridge Trail. The East Applegate Ridge Trail is the part under construction right now. Luke Riediger is one of the members of the Applegate Trails Association, working very hard on this. He mentioned the Siskiyou Upland Trails Association working on other trails in the region. So eventually, you'll be able to walk on trail from Ashland all the way to Grants Pass. Luke Riediger, good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jeffrey.